As teachers, one of the things we desire for our students is their willing attention. Yet so many things rival for our students' focus. Our goal is to use the things about which they are interested to solidify truth and promote action. We maintain a commitment to teaching our students how to think critically, how to engage with challenging topics, and how to develop an informed opinion rooted in a historical biblical worldview. We want this podcast to be a resource for just those things. On the highway of ideas, weaving its way over the landscape of our culture, the Falcon Fast Lane is committed to not having the truth pass you by. Without further delay, let's merge into the topic of today.
I realized, that lesson I spent 3 hours on, not that it's not important to do a good lesson, that wasn't what impacted them. And I think it's the key word that Jack said a bunch, Lucia said a bunch, it's relationships. Mm. And if you're listening and you're at Livingston Christian School, going to the school is awesome. Getting the Bible studies are awesome, but developing the relationships, that is what is going to keep you 20 years from now.
I'd like to welcome you to another episode of the Falcon Fast Lane. Got an exciting show prepared for you guys today. Got some wisdom in the house today. Not that we don't in the past, but this is going to be a fun episode for me because I'm the old guy, and all these guys are not. So today we have as our guests, we have Jack Janigian, who is a former student of mine, and we work together, Jack. Mm-hmm. And Jack is a youth pastor at Solid Rock Bible Church in Plymouth. And then also Mark Havermail, who I have not yet worked with, but you were a former student of mine.
Yeah, I was, all the way through.
Long time ago. And Mark is currently the youth pastor at Plymouth Presbyterian. Interestingly enough, right across the parking lot from Jack.
Yeah, Jack and me can throw stuff at each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, and that would work because Jack was a baseball. You guys both play baseball.
Not past fourth grade for me.
Not past fourth.
Baseball was not my strong suit.
You were a strong player in fourth grade, though.
Not really.
And then, of course, hosting us today in Studio Z is my lovely and gracious co-host, Miss Z. How are you doing today, Miss Z?
I'm doing great.
Are you sure?
I am.
Coming
it's
off
still
a good,
the morning, so nothing has happened.
Coming
really.
Off a good chapel this morning.
Awesome chapel.
We got another good sunny day out.
Yes, we do.
Jack, what was the temperature when you came in-ish?
Dude, I don't know, man. I mean, it's just something for me to be in long pants, you know?
That's so true. I didn't even think about that.
So you guys, if you're listening to the podcast, Jack is anti-pants. And I don't mean that like he doesn't wear
anti-long pants.
Anti-long pants, I should say. So he wears shorts so I'm really concerned at what happened between the 20 minutes that me and Chris got Starbucks and now because Jack's wearing long pants, which means it's got to be 15 below now.
You know, I was out the door a little after 6 this morning, and so that time of day.
It was 17 at 7 this morning, it might have been a little bit colder even at 6. Yeah. So, yeah, that's long pant worthy.
Yeah.
Hey, today, so we want to talk about a topic that all of us have had conversations with each other, and I'm sure with people that we work with and that work for us by way of students. But just as far as background today, so the four of us all have several things in common. All four of us have weathered different challenges in life. So we don't want to come at this podcast with anybody thinking that we've got all of this stuff figured out. And when I say weathered, like significant life-changing weathering type of stuff that all of us have gone through. Also, we're four people who, quite frankly, haven't walked away from the faith. And I think that's important, and that'll be important for us to kind of key in on today. And then lastly, I think the four of us have this in common too. We all are currently serving in some type of vocational ministry. So not only have we weathered the storms, not only have we not walked away from the faith, but we also have found ourselves called by God to be in some type of vocational ministry with students, which blows me away. It's super cool. I can't believe I'm an old guy that still is able to, you know.
There's only one young person here. It's Ms. Z, all right? Because I'm 42. Jack, how old are you?
I'm 44.
So,
I thought you were younger.
So literally the only one who can actually claim to be young, and I don't mean that insultingly. I mean that like begrudgingly because we're old. Like we are actually, the three of us are really old to be working with students. So, I mean, it's kind of a rarity, right?
It is.
Like, I get senior discounts at some places, which I am all about.
Take advantage of it.
I am all about that. So to get us going here, Jack, I want want to talk to both of you guys just about your spiritual journey. So Jack, just kind of share with us like how you're introduced to the Lord. Maybe we'll start there, how you're introduced to the Lord.
Yeah. I was born in the church, essentially. You know, when I was young, my parents started to church. My parents weren't in ministry themselves vocationally, but they were part of a church plant that literally met in my house growing up. So all I knew was going to church Sunday mornings, going to church Sunday nights, all my young days. That was before we had Wednesday nights. And then once I got in middle school, I started going to Wednesday nights, and that's why I met Chris for the first time. So I've never had this from the time I was young, I've never had a real crisis of faith moment. I think I've had some crisis of following moments when you know my beliefs didn't change, but by how I executed those beliefs changed and varied. And so when I was in high school, I had a youth pastor that really poured into me as well, and decided that I wanted to do whatever I could to be around people at the front end of their faith. And I didn't know what that meant. If that meant missions, I was willing to do missions, but the Lord really directed me to youth ministry because that you get to experience kids. For me, my faith came alive in middle school when I was around guys like Chris and my youth pastor at that time, Daryl Crum, who had a huge influence on both Chris and I. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's always been my commitment to be wherever I can be most effective for people at the front end of their walk with Christ. So I don't know what that means. You know, when I came to my current church, they wanted me to commit for 5 years. And I said, I'm willing to commit for this week because my commitment's not to any specific church or any specific job. My commitment's to the kingdom.
Yeah.
And I would love to say I'm going to be a youth pastor until I'm 70.
Right.
But I'm going to only do that if that's what the Lord wants.
That's right. Have you heard that before, Missy? I love that, the front end of their faith.
I haven't heard that, but I like that too.
I mean, it seems like the word foundation, I mean, we're going to keep coming back to that over and over again today. And front end of the faith is, you can't get much more foundational than that. So I appreciate that. I'm stealing that, Jack.
Go for it. I probably stole it from somebody and just don't remember who.
Mark, where did your spiritual journey begin?
So a lot of parallels. I think you're going to see a lot of parallels today with me and Jack and everyone here.
Yeah.
I grew up in the church. I was born in the church, basically. Godly parents, just like Jack's. My dad was in some vocational ministry. He was teaching a Sunday school class for 25, 30 years and was the ended up being a pastor at the end of his career there at the church. But I grew up I have no complaints, great parents, godly marriage, dad doing devotions, watched him every morning, you know. So as far as my faith journey, that's where I ran into Chris. Chris was my, if you're listening to this, Pastor Chris was my fourth grade Sunday school teacher, my junior high youth pastor, my high school youth pastor, my college youth pastor. And so I had the same thing that Jack said. I had a youth pastor that poured into me, and I responded well along with my friends. But very similar to Jack's, I never had a crisis of faith where I didn't believe what was true. My crisis came that I didn't want to obey it. So I wanted to do different things. The way I lived my life at certain points was not equal to what I believed about Scripture. I just chose to disobey. But it was never a crisis of, it wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want to follow it.
But
never left the faith from the aspect of believing in Jesus Christ and believing in the Word of God. And then kind of fell into, I always wanted to be youth ministry, basically because I don't know if Jack would feel the same way, but I saw it meant modeled to me and I wanted to be like Chris. That looked like a cool job, but it was more than that. And so I started doing that. And then kind of went back and forth and, spent some time away from student ministry and then realized that's what I want to do. And so that's what it ended up being. So I've been doing about 20 years in church ministry, but 12 or 13 in youth ministry, and probably see myself in some version of youth ministry for the rest of my life. But like Jack said, I'm not committed to one church. My passion is seeing students. I'm going to steal that to the front end of their faith. But how that plays out over the next 20, 30 years of my life, I have no clue.
Yeah. Jack, how long have you been in vocational ministry now?
23 years.
23 years.
23 years.
Yeah.
All right. Started when he was four.
Something like that.
Ms. Z, I'm going to throw you into the mix, even though we're off book now. How did your spiritual journey begin?
Similarly, I grew up in a Christian home, and the Lord found me at a pretty young age. But I don't think it became real probably until late high school. I recall a seventh grade teacher named Laura Chapman, who used to teach on the persecuted church in restricted and hostile nations. And that's what opened my eyes up to, wow, people actually die for this faith. There's got to be something real about it. And she fostered the interest in missions. And then I went overseas a couple different trips. And the one that was significant for me was taking Bibles into China and really wondering, why the heck am I doing this? It must be real. It must be true that there are Christians over there who long for just one page of the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And so I had to say, is this actually real? Is it what I believe? And then saw that faith acted out so well by my parents and teachers before me, and similarly wanted to get into ministry in some way. I thought I'd be a missionary for life, but my dad said, that doesn't pay well. So how can you do missions but still be able to fund your way? Yeah. And he suggested that I become a teacher. And I said, no, I'll never be a teacher. Never going to do that. And then Mr. Nast also said, you'll be a teacher one day.
Mr. Nast happened.
I turned to everybody down. I said, it won't happen. And then in college, a professor said, he didn't tell me that I was going to be a teacher. He knew he couldn't say that to me. So he said, are you tired? Are you exhausted at Hillsdale College? I said, I am. I just want a semester off. And he goes, why don't you try student teaching? Go back to your old school and just, you'll get 11 credits by doing it. See if you like it. And that's what did it. Stepped in a classroom and here I am. Awesome. Teaching.
And you really showed your dad there on the financial end.
You're right.
Because
no kidding.
Being a Christian school teacher
makes it happen. It's kind of like being a youth pastor, right? I mean, like if you go in that, you go, wow, let's see. One of the most top careers, youth pastor, Christian school teacher. I think the only one out of us who can say that is the eye recovery guy. Like he's you know, he works like 200 hours a week, but you know, it's a little more better paying than what we do, right?
Oh, and I get some good illustrations from that too. So this next question is almost self-answering because there's been so many common threads through your brief testimonies, all three of you guys. Ms. E, we'll just start with you and we'll go about the other way. What were some key elements in your history that helped you develop a spiritual fervor that lasted? And I'm going to throw out some things for you. So family, prayer, Sunday school, maybe youth group. You mentioned the mission trip that you went on or a few mentors. And then the last one, Christian education, because that's something that we haven't mentioned, but all three of us have that in common as well.
Yes. The first thing that came to my mind is something not on this list, but it was actually trials and really big struggles.
Oh, way to go to James. Way to trump all of us.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. I'm teaching that one right now. That might be why it's in my mind. But yes, those trials definitely made me question, do I actually believe these things? And if I do, then the Lord will come through. So I just have to wait. Mm-hmm. And every single time he does. Mm. But then in addition, you've probably seen this on Facebook. It's a bit of a cliche, but it compares religion to grace. And it says religion is, a young boy will say, oh no, I made a mistake. Dad's going to kill me. And grace says, oh no, I made a mistake. I got to go tell Dad. Mm. And you can question if the definitions are right there with religion and grace, but I like that idea, that image of there's this person in my life, this mentor, the spiritual guide who says, I know you will fail one day, but I'm here. What are you going to do about it when you're in that moment? Mm-hmm. And I can think of several people in my life who taught me well in preparation for those moments. And then when I was walking through them, they still stood by me and did not leave me on the battlefield alone. Mm-hmm. They said, I knew this was going to come. Now let's talk together about how to go from there. Wasn't judged, but I was encouraged to move forward. So those two things, trials and people who modeled grace, I think that's what led to my spiritual fervor.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that. You know, we all talked about our age. Your trials didn't stop in middle school. They didn't stop in high school. Right. They didn't stop in college. Mm-hmm. You're still experiencing trials today.
Yes.
So that's the gift that keeps on giving, right?
Right.
Those trials keep on giving. And yet from the foundation that was established through a number of these different things, not the least of which is your love for God's word and your clinging to the promise that he's never going to leave you, you're able to weather those.
Yes.
Still today as a 28-year-old. So that you don't graduate from trials, is that what we're saying?
That's right. No, you don't. It's been granted unto you not only to believe, but to suffer for his name.
Yes. Awesome. Avs?
Well, first, I'd say I would agree with Ms. Z about trials. That's James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work in you so you may be whole and complete, not lacking anything.
You should get that tattooed on your arm.
Yeah, like on my left arm.
Yeah, you should.
That would be really... Probably,
you might need your back. That's a long quote.
I'm showing because he's laughing because I actually have.
Oh, right. You do.
Yeah. So, he does have it. So you can't see in the podcast. So I'm laughing when Missy quoted the verse because I have James 1:2-4 actually tattooed on my left arm. Not that we're.
I didn't know that, but I knew exactly what was going on. I'm not sure how she didn't catch that.
She
doesn't read Chris sarcasm. So
she's the newbie at that here.
Let me just say, for Livingston Christian students, we are in no way advocating or not advocating getting tattoos. But no, I mean, trials, and here, I would just add to Ms. Z, some of my trials in my life were because of me. Mm. All right, some trials happen, you know, my dad's death, other things in my life, and my mom's death. Those were trials that were handed to me, but many of the trials I've faced, I've caused. And yet God has still used those. So that's the first thing that I would say. I just total agreement with Ms. Z, but also, and I think you're going to hear a lot of this, you know, as far as what Chris is asking, Pastor Chris, foundations. I grew up with a godly family. It was exemplified to me by my mom and dad of being solid Christian people. I couldn't question God's word to a certain degree because I saw it lived out so authentically in my life. And then you add in youth ministry at church. I know it's a challenge for us today to do it like it was, but Pastor Chris, consistent, just like my parents, and invested so many hours and time that I didn't appreciate. I don't know if Jack would say the same thing. I didn't appreciate how much time, effort, and money my youth pastors put into me until I started doing it. And like how much time they put away from their family sometimes. Third, with Christian school, I went to a local Christian school that I felt was put Jesus first. The academics were important, but the first thing was a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so there was a group of us who ended up in a vocational ministry and serving at churches in non-vocational ministry that came from one class that we spent from fourth grade on. That was super important. And I guess the last thing I would say is that my family instilled in me and the school instilled in me and Pastor Chris instilled in me to be involved in your local church. It has its errors. It has its flaws because there's flawed people there. But God's biggest ministry is happening in the local church. Mm. And to stay grounded in that, whether you're in vocational ministry or not. So those factors, those four factors, I think played a role in the foundations of my faith and how I didn't walk away from it. Mm.
Jack?
Yeah, I think relationships are so key in my life growing up. So, you know, and I look back and I think about, you know, even reflecting back, being in middle school with Chris and all the people that had an impact with me in elementary, middle school, high school, and whether it was pastors like Daryl Crum or John Hayward or other guys that influenced or leaders like you and Chris G and some other names that we could bring up, or guys like Mike Thomas.
Who still to this day continue to.
Yeah, and so you think about all these people that impact, and I can't remember a single sermon that anybody ever gave.
Interesting.
But man, I can remember the time spent and the impact they had in my life just through those things and how they modeled Christ. I saw that growing up. That stuck with me. The faith of my family, my parents who were a huge impact, the Christian school, all those things like played in together. And now, you know, I see my life. I want to have that same impact. I recorded a video this past spring during the first lockdown with we did a Zoom call with
I'm so glad you're mentioning this because I was trying to find a way to worm this in. This video was awesome.
Yeah, there was 10 individuals, guys and girls, who were all in full-time ministry, and they were all in my middle school youth group 15, 20 years ago, all yeah. together at the same time.
Yeah.
And they're all in full-time ministry and youth pastors and campus pastors and worship pastors. And there was another 15, 20 we could have taken. Yeah. Like we put that invite out to a bunch of different pastors. And so you have those moments. Mm-hmm. And those are, man, those are like the fuel in your fire.
Absolutely.
Like that's like, okay. Yeah, you know, you shoot a video like that, and I'm like, okay, I got another 10 years.
Yeah,
that'll keep me going. That's my yeah. coffee for my life.
Right.
And so I want to have the same impact on others that others had on me. Mm. And so that's what's kept the fervor going, because mm-hmm. that's not just about my job. That's about my life.
Right. Absolutely. I'm so glad that you said that. We just talked about that in devotions this morning, didn't we, Missy, about having our spiritual tank filled up. And I think you have to experience those successes. And success isn't perfection, because none of us have ever experienced that. But the success is to see that you've had input on somebody over the years, and now you're seeing them being successful in their Christian walk and now influencing people. So you tagged me on that video because somebody had mentioned my name, but I watched that, and how humbling, dude, to see all of those young men and women, you know, now who are like, well, I can't believe he's a pastor. I can't believe she's doing this. But you bring it all the way back, and it comes back to a lot of these foundations that were laid. And I couldn't agree with you more, Jack, about the power of relationships.
And it's not just the positive, it is the negative too. It's when yeah. you see people mm-hmm. who have fallen away. And you think about your impact and the things that you wish you would have done. Not that anybody else's, you know, spiritual health is dependent on you. Right. You know, that's a personal thing. But you want to make sure your impact. So the ones that tend to slip away, those ones encourage you even the more to just keep plugging away, to love God, to set the example, to decrease that number
right.
and increase the number of those that right. are going to faithfully follow Jesus.
What an awesome segue into my next question. The next question is, can you guys think of anybody right now that you grew up with that had access to all of the same opportunities that you did that have walked away from the faith?
Yeah, I would say we all can in different yeah. ways, you know, whether it's kids I grew up with or students I've had come into my ministry. And unfortunately, you know, so many people, their faith is such a surface thing, you know, and that's, again, being in student ministries, that's the big thing. You know, there's a lot of students walking the halls of Livingston Christian right now who are there because their parents want them there, and they're
right.
going through a little bit of the spiritual motions.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of middle school. For me, in middle school is when, you know, I said, okay, you know, I lived my parents' faith for my whole life growing up, born in the church, all those things. And then I started to recognize and realize what it meant to have that personal relationship. Mm-hmm. And within that personal relationship, it started to become my own choice and my own decision to do things. And when you're doing those things on your own, those are the things that stick.
Right.
And so I really push students to make decisions based on fact and not emotion. You know, so I'm speaking at a camp in a couple of weeks, and I told the pastor, hey, you know, I do the gospel first session. You know, mm-hmm. we're not waiting until Saturday night.
Right.
You know, get everybody crying, make yeah. a decision. Because, like, when you make decisions based on emotion rather than who you are and the confidence of where you're at when you're most alive, most awake, most real, those are the things that are going to stick. So,
yeah.
It's tough. It's a tough journey always to see people walk away. But you know that those roots weren't really laid.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark. I would say the same thing as far as I grew up with a lot of people at my local Christian school, and they walked away. I grew up with a lot of people at our church, and they walked away. And I've had a lot of people in my ministry walk away. And Jack says something that really connects to me, and that's, you know, when we grew up, I do you remember a lot of the lessons? Now, actually, I remember almost all of Chris's lessons, Pastor Chris's lessons. They were just, I remember them. But what's funny is as I've talked to students in my ministry, I got so worked. Well, how I judged success in my ministry for the first 10 years was not how the students did. So the students didn't remember any of the lessons that I poured all my heart into, worked on transitions, be funny, get the PowerPoint ready. They didn't remember any of that. They remembered serving on mission trips and a cold, junky piece of pizza and sitting and talking with them. That's what they remember. And the students that had those relationships, they're the ones that didn't fall away.
Mm.
But everything I judged my success on was, great lesson, numbers, mm-hmm. the band sounded good. That stuff didn't matter to them. Mm-hmm. And I didn't learn that till 10 or 15 years later when those kids came back to me and I realized, oh, that lesson I spent 3 hours on, not that it's not important to do a good lesson, that wasn't what impacted them. And I think it's a key word that Jack said a bunch, Messia said a bunch, it's relationships. Mm. And if you're listening and you're at Livingston Christian School, going to the school is awesome. Getting to Bible studies are awesome, but developing the relationships, that is what is going to keep you 20 years from now. Mm. You're not going to remember the Bible lesson, even if Pastor Chris teaches it 20 years from now. You're just not going to remember that. Mrs. Mm-hmm. Z is going to probably tell you something. You might not remember that, but you will remember the relationship with Mrs. Z. And that 20 years from now is going to be some of Jack's, all those people that, and what a legacy that Jack has. I'm guessing they could probably name some of the Jack's lessons, but I'm guessing they remembered the relationship with Jack and that's, and the man of character he is and integrity. And then they responded and then they're in ministry now because of his integrity and his character and his consistent character more than, well, he gave that one lesson on Wednesday night and that changed my life. Maybe, but more than likely, it's his consistent character and relationship with them that leaves them where they're at today. I mean, I think that would probably be it.
That and Matt Ball. I mean, Matt Ball has to be involved.
Well, and even with all these students, you know, and Matt Ball is a great game, but to just expand on what Mark said, I was just a small piece of that puzzle. Mm. You know, that was kind of the beauty of that video is that there was like 11 names mentioned of small group leaders and parents and teachers were mentioned in that video and all these people that kind of came together. And I got to be one piece of that puzzle and, you know, of allowing the students to respond to the work of the Spirit of God. And so I think it takes a tribe.
That is such a cool element to bring in because that takes pressure off of us as individual leaders, but then also accentuates exactly what you just said, Jack, the need for that type of community where it's going to be consistent across the board because not everybody is going to be a good communicator. Not everybody is going to be a good teacher. Not everybody is going to be a successful one-on-one person that can have that, you know, interpersonal communication. But you bring a community together and you're going to find somebody that is good at something in that community, and that's going to pour into that person to give them a mix of, like Pastor Tim just talked this morning about, you know, he talked about his mom's awesome chocolate chip cookies. And he said, my mom uses raw eggs. She uses flour. She uses sugar. She uses chocolate chips and vanilla extract. He said, you taste any one of those separate and they're gross. He said, but you bring those together, you apply some heat, and you have this amazing chocolate chip cookie. So it's exactly what you're saying, Jack. It's a variety of these things that have come together to make something pretty special.
For Livingston Christian, especially, Ms. Z, I want to ask Ms. Z a question because you grew up here, then you went to Hillsdale, and then you traveled to Washington, and then you came back, and you've stayed in your faith for your whole time. And so what was it about Livingston? What was it? Was it lessons? Was it relationships? What was it that kept you so grounded through those years from now that you're back here at Livingston teaching now?
Well, to echo what both of you guys said, I remember more about how I felt in a classroom than I do the lessons. And I think that is true. Kids will remember more how they felt than they do what you taught. So that was part of it. But I remember 13 years old, my dad bought me a Bible. Mm. It sounds very simple, but I love to read. And I craved that thing. I read that all the time, even though I didn't really understand it that much. Mm-hmm. But it was reading that outside of the school that I think built my faith even more. The school fostered it. I had to memorize verses all the way through senior year. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really appreciate them until the trials came. Mm-hmm. And then they just came back into my head without really trying.
Go figure, another promise God kept.
Right, exactly. I know. But I liked to read. I liked the Bible, and I think other people maybe don't like to read, but they love music, and so worship gets them, or they don't really like worship or prayer, but they love creation and nature, and so they find him there, and all those things are true, I think, for all of us, but yeah, I would say it was that word. That's what really provided the foundation.
Yeah.
So you know what that makes me think of is I came across this in my devotions yesterday, which is what she's talking about. She's living out is Psalm 119:9, which says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity by living according to your word? And the word there is the Hebrew word. It's talking about actually the law and God's promises. The word can be used for the overall word of God that we think of as the Bible, but it's specifically talking about the law and his promises. And that's, I mean, Mrs. Z lived Psalm 119:9. And if you're a student listening to this right now, get to know Ms. Z really well, because what you're going to learn from her, not just what she teaches in her classroom, but what you learn from her character and who she is, will last 20 years from now. Me and Jack had people like Ms. Z pour into us. For me, it's across the table and Pastor Chris. That has impacted me. I mean, his character and everything else has impacted me all the way through to I'm 42. And if you get to, you know, so students, you've got to take this on yourself. In the front line of your faith, so to speak, you've got to identify someone. I want to be like that person. You know, when it came down to it, I wanted to be like Pastor Chris. I wanted to be like my other youth pastors. And so then I hung out with them. And so identify the teachers at Livingston that you want to be like. And if you want to be like Ms. Z, which you should want to, then spend time with that person. Eat that stuff up. Because that's going to last more than any one-off lesson or podcast or anything you learn.
Can I add one thing to that?
Yeah.
And hopefully they want to, quote unquote, be like Ms. Z because they see Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what I crave, is I want to be like Jesus as exemplified by how he is in Ms. Z.
Excellent.
And I see that in all of our teachers here.
We hope that you've enjoyed the Falcon Fastlane Commute, a ministry of Livingston Christian Schools. The commute is an abbreviated version for those that aren't able to commit a large amount of time to the podcast. For an extended version of what you were just enjoying, please tune in to the Falcon Fastlane Road Trip. This is also available on a number of different podcast platforms, including Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Breaker.